Our gospel today is similar to last week's. Jesus' message of authority has credence because of his ability to confront evil and his ability to heal. Last week we said that calling transcends and confronts evil. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in Jesus when demons are cast out and the sick are healed and the captives are set free. I remind you again of our assumptions as a Western culture that we live in a world that is two-storied or a universe that is two-storied. In the West, we mistakenly believe that our world and concepts that we see are what is real and that God is out there somewhere. Whether or not God messes with us is another matter. But the Christian reality is to see our world and our universe as one storied. That is, God is in our realm as much as we are in our realm. Again, he's above us, he transcends us, but he is with us always. I also want to make a correction in last week's sermon. Apparently, yeah, you remember we talked about Yuri Gagarin? And he was purportedly to say when he was in space, he didn't see God. Guess what? Khrushchev is the one that put those words in his mouth. Yuri Gagarin was a baptized, faithful member of the Russian Orthodox Church. And in fact, there was an article about him in 2007. By Mary Benari, and this would have been on his birthday. He died in 1967 in an accident. But in 1964, he visited a monastery, St. Sergi, and met with the abbot there. And then he said, let's take a picture together in case anyone thinks I don't believe. And then he was also quoted as saying, an astronaut cannot be suspended in space and not have God in his mind and in his heart. So actually, Yuri had it right. But back to our notion of calling. This week, Jesus does some fascinating things. Remember that in Mark, demons are aware of Jesus. People are not. The demons in the synagogue rightly identify Jesus. So what does he do with them this time? He does not allow them to speak at all. Next, while his fame, as Mark said, is growing, what does he do? He gets away. He goes off to pray to a solitary place. The whole town comes to see him. And what does he do? He goes somewhere else. Fascinating. I also want to touch a bit on Paul's words. Paul is dealing with a deeply divided church in Corinth. There are factions of all stripes, Jew, Gentile, those who are ascetic, those who are permissive, lots of different kinds of folks that are head to head against each other. And yet Paul says, for the gospel's sake, I become all things for all men and women in order to save some. I become all things for the sake of the gospel. But I'm going to look at those two things today from Mark and 1 Corinthians that speak to our calling in Christ. The first is that calling transcends culture. And the second is that calling involves deep discernment. Calling transcends culture. Hear Paul again. To those outside the law, I become as one outside the law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I become weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Now we hear the word culture, and it's kind of a buzzword for us. And we see Paul setting aside what he knows as a Jew, even if his freedom as a Christian is one who is not under the law. He does it for the sake of the gospel. Now he's talking specifically about this question. What happens if you're in the marketplace and you see meat on in the market that was sacrificed to an idol? What do you do? And Paul pretty much comes to the conclusion, let your conscience decide. Don't put down those who are buying, and don't make someone stumble if you buy and it causes them to move then into a life of sin. You have freedom, he says. But don't use your position of freedom to get in the way of the gospel. How would we apply this? Not letting our personal positions on certain matters take precedence over the gospel message and our calling in Christ. The gospel and our following of Jesus trumps our political positions and everything else. Now here's a question for you. Let's make this real. Would you disaffiliate your political party for the gospel? Not saying your views or your convictions, but would you disaffiliate your party for the sake of the gospel? I'll write a letter that says, "Dear Democrat or Republican, I don't belong to you anymore. I'm going to look at things differently." Not look at things differently, maybe, but just say, "That's not me." Okay. So I knew a priest who did this. So someone in their congregation happened to find out what his affiliation was, and that person left the congregation. That's kind of unfair, I think, but they did nonetheless. And so this priest said, "All right, I'm going to disaffiliate because I don't want that to ever happen again." Because the gospel is more important than your political party. Wrestle with that. A concept to grasp is that the Christian faith and our calling transcends culture. It transcends our own culture. Because in a sense, it is itself a culture. Hang in with me here. Where we make a mistake is to think that Christian culture is tied to North America or to Europe. Do we promote English culture by what we do? God forbid. God forbid. What I mean is we have a language and a way of being that is worth even more than the best of any culture. This is the culture that loves God and loves neighbor. This is the culture of mercy and forgiveness. This is the culture of belief and practice that we have been doing for 2,000 years that transcends all of the world's cultures. Christians have always believed what is contained in the creed. We've always practiced the sacraments from day one. We've always had boundaries around who could administer and partake of the sacraments. We've always believed in the authority of Scripture, regardless of nation, time period, everything else. There are things that we pass on to the next generation that transcend everything we know about culture. The gospel and our calling to it are always above where we live, what our ethnicity is, and who we vote for. Our call in Christ transcends culture because we have our own way of doing things, the Christian faith. Chew on that for a while. I know that's difficult to kind of think about. But lastly, calling involves discernment. What do I mean by discernment? Now, you would think that when Jesus is getting all of the success, he would stop and take note. And he would say, now is my time to rise above it all, to pay attention. Why not let even the demons give him a plug? If the whole city has come, why not build the biggest empire in the world? Well, Jesus was about his Father's business. When the crowds came, he withdrew to be with the Father. When they were at his doorstep, he moved on. This takes serious discernment. It's what the Jesuits would call discernment of spirits. Perhaps you know the story of St. Ignatius of Loyola, powerful, powerful soldier in Spain. And he had a lot of clout, and he did a lot of things. He had a lot of fun, those kinds of things as well. But one day he was at battle, and his leg was crushed by a cannonball. And he could no longer move. So he was a nobleman. He had wealth. He went to his castle to find out, or just to recover, really. He had nothing to do. So he asked for something to read. Well, for some reason, they only had the Bible and the lives of the saints. So there he was, stuck with the Bible and the lives of the saints. So he began to read the New Testament to see what Jesus was all about. And he also was reading about Francis and Dominic, who had preceded him by just a couple of centuries. And then he began to think in his mind, what is it that I want to be? And when he thought of recovering and going back to his former life of prestige and fame and wealth and everything that went with it, he began to feel dark inside. And when he would read about Francis and Dominic and doing great things for God, he had suddenly life inside. His spirit came to life. He chose the gospel. Now, the Jesuits still do these kinds of things. And I think this is what Jesus is actually doing here. He's seeing all this fame right at his door. He's seeing everything that he could be, but he chooses to do what God wants him to do because it's the only thing that gives him life. And if he was tempted to be more than that, at least in his ministry, he went off to a mountain to recenter himself. Jesus had to use his powers of discernment to see with the right kind of eyes. It was not success he was after, but the will of the Father in all things. So then is our call. So then is our call. It's to see what God wants for us, and to do it, and to walk in it. I would invite you to think about the disciples' words when they're talking to Jesus. Everyone is searching for you. What a statement. And as we consider our own walk in Christ, are we searching for him? As we consider those in our lives who are going this place and that place and this area, that area, can we not see everyone is searching for him?